sweet," she said. "But one thing did occur to me when I was focusing on them. What we see before us is just one tiny part of the world. We get into the habit of thinking this is the world, but that's not true at all. The real world is in a much darker and deeper place than this, and most of it is occupied by jellyfish and things. We just happen to forget all that. Don't you agree? 2/3 of the Earth's surface is ocean, and all we can see of it with the naked eye is the surface, the skin. We hardly know anything about what's underneath the skin."
We took a long walk after that. At 5 o'clock, Kumiko said she had to go back to the hospital, so I took her there.
"Thank you for a lovely day,"
she said when we parted. There was a quiet glow in her smile that had not been there before. When I saw it, I realized that I had managed to draw a little closer to her in the course of the day, thanks, no doubt, to the jellyfish. Kumiko and I continued to date. Her mother was discharged from hospital, and I no longer had to spend time there working on my client's will, but we would get together once a week for a movie or a concert or a walk. We grew closer to each other each time we met. I enjoyed being with her, and if we should happen to touch, I felt a fluttering in the chest. I often found it difficult to work when the weekend was drawing near. I was sure she liked me, otherwise she wouldn't see me every weekend. Still, I was in no hurry to deepen my relationship with Kumiko. I sensed a kind of uncertainty in her. Exactly what it was I couldn't have said, but it would have come out every now and then in her words or actions. I might ask her something, and a single breath would intervene before she answered, just the slightest hesitation, but in that split-second interval I sensed a kind of shadow. Winter came, and then the new year. We went on seeing each other every week. I never asked about that something, and she never said a word. We would meet and go somewhere and eat and talk about innocuous things. One day I took a chance and said, "You must have a boyfriend, don't you?" Kumiko looked at me for a moment and asked, "What makes you think so?" "Just a hunch," I said. We were walking through the wintry and deserted Shinjuku Imperial Gardens.
"What kind of hunch?"
"I don't know. I get the feeling there's something you want to tell me. You should, if you can." The expression on her face wavered the slightest bit, almost imperceptibly. There might have been a moment of uncertainty, but there had never been any doubt about her conclusion.
"Thanks for asking," she said, "but I don't have anything that I want to make a special point of talking about."
"You haven't answered my question, though."
"About whether I have a boyfriend?"
"Uh-huh." Kumiko came to a stop. Then she slipped her gloves off and put them into her coat pocket. She took my gloveless hand in hers. Her hand was warm and soft. When I squeezed her hand in return, it seemed to me that her breaths grew smaller and whiter.
"Can we go to your apartment now?"
she asked. "Sure," I said, somewhat taken aback. "It's not much of a place, though." I was living in Asagaya at the time, in a one-room apartment with a tiny kitchen and a toilet and a shower the size of a phone booth. It was on the second floor and faced south, overlooking a construction company's storage yard. That southern aspect was the apartment's only good point. For a long time, Kumiko and I sat next to each other in the flood of sunlight, leaning against the wall. I made love to her for the first time that day. It was what she wanted, I was sure. In a sense, it was she who seduced me. Not that she ever said or did anything overtly seductive, but when I put my arms around her naked body, I knew for certain that she had intended this to happen. Her body was soft and offered no resistance. It was Kumiko's first experience of sex. For a long time afterwards, she said nothing. I tried several times to talk to her, but she made no reply. She took a shower, put her clothes on, and sat in the sunlight again. I had no idea what to say. I simply joined her in the patch of sunlight and said nothing. The two of us edged along the wall as the sun moved. When evening came, Kumiko said she was leaving. I saw her home. "Are you sure you don't have something you want to say to me?" I asked again in the train. She shook her head.
"Never mind about that,"
she murmured. I never raised the topic again. Kumiko had chosen to sleep with me of her own volition, and if she was indeed keeping something inside that she could not tell me,